Good morning. We talked about the gospel. We said the gospel of the Lord, and the gospel means what? Good news. It sounded like good news today, didn't it? Enter through the narrow gate. Many will try to enter and be unable. They will not be strong enough, it says. And then the gospel, I mean, the second reading talks about being disciplined by God. And so the first thing I'd ever make my kids memorize when I taught at prep, every year when I taught scripture, was Matthew, when I sat there and talked about enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. Because I always say, gentlemen, we're called to be different than everybody else. Not better, please God, not even close to being better, but different. We need to be people who are people to enter in the narrow gate. I think you need to be a person of prayer, a person of forgiveness, and a person of charity. Prayer, forgiveness, and charity. The first thing, of course, is to enter through that narrow gate, and not many people do, is what Christ says. Not many people do. You know, and the guys at prep, you say, well, Father, come on. If it's like you, it is. Not a lot of people are going to heaven. And I go, oh, I know. I wish it was different. You know, and sometimes, you know, I was listening on my way back from my five-day silent retreat to a nut on the radio. And he was a minister at a church up in Massachusetts, which I can never say that word, but anyway. He was up there and he talks about, you know, people misread the Bible and they do all this stuff and God doesn't really care what you do with your sexuality and he doesn't really care if you go to church and he doesn't really care. And I'm sitting there thinking, how can you do that? How can you just go and tell people your own opinion? When you look at this gospel and you look at what Jesus says, anyone who ever reads the Word of God, and the God, like I say a thousand times, isn't Barney. The God of love is demanding God. Just like if you enter into any relationship of love, that very nature of relationship has demands on it. It demands you stay faithful to one person. It demands you give your life for that person. It demands you're there for each other. Every relationship of love has demands in it. If the relationship of love is going to do anything. This relationship of love, no matter who it's with, will cost you your life, or it's not a relationship of love. When I marry people, I often tell them, listen, the rest of your life, you've got to be more concerned about your spouse than you are about yourself. Whenever you start saying, what have you done for me, love starts to die. The very nature of love demands responsibilities. And so this is the same with our relationship with God. And see, a lot of people just think the relationship with God is just a once-a-week thing, or every once in a while pray, but it must cost you your life, huh? And so the three things I think we need to do to enter the narrow way is be people of prayer, people of forgiveness, people of charity. Prayer. Throughout the years, me going on 6 years here now, and Progressive Life people over 10 years with me, I don't know if there's anything I've ever preached on more about than prayer. The prayer got to be our life. But often, all too often, you know, I just dealt with a bunch of people last week that came to see me, and I ask every one of them individually, do you have a daily prayer life? And every one of these really committed people said no. And it'd be interesting if the only way out today was one door and you had to walk through me. And everybody, as you walked out, I'd look right in your eyes and I'd sit there and say, do you have a committed, daily prayer life to God? How many of you would say yes, and how many of you would say, oh, I try? Only yes makes it. The narrow way. The day that sits there and says, that God demands of you of love as you enter in this relationship of Him. And as all relationships, you give Him time in your life every day. Again, never fitting God into your day, building your day around God. That prayer must become our life. It just got to be. There's no other way. It can't be anything else. You can't try. You must do. Prayer must be your life. You know, when I sit there and I yell about whatever, and then again, it's like they were talking to parish council, sometimes the only way things get done when I yell. And I think, oh, why? Good heavens, mercy. If one thing everybody could ever ask of anybody here, as if we have a daily committed prayer life. Committed. That those of us who can to give an hour a week to God in prayer. You know, people just think I'm doing this for my sake. I'm doing it for yours. Because God says, you know, the other translation is when he throws people out, he says, get away from me because I never knew you. The only way to know God is to spend time in prayer. And you might sit there and say, well, Father, I don't get anything out of it. Did you read, have you heard of things this week about Mother Teresa? For 50 years, she felt nothing. She says, I have no faith. She called Jesus the absent one. She says that smile on her face was a lie. She felt nothing. In 50 years, only 5 weeks, five, did she feel consolation. The rest, she felt nothing. And yet she spent an hour a day on her knees every day in front of God. Every day she talked about love. Every day she served the poorest of the poor and felt nothing. Prayer isn't what we get, it's what we give to God. Mother showed that. That's why she's going to be a great saint. But though she felt nothing, she gave everything. Though she didn't feel anything when she went to pray because she persevered. How about us? Is prayer our very life? If not, it's time that it got to change. We can't play games with God. He must become the one I love more than anything, whether I feel something, whether I don't. Huh? The second thing we got to be is people of forgiveness. And that became so real that when I came back from my retreat, I was watching something. Here was a guy who killed somebody. And it was, you know, on Court TV or something I was watching. And the guy sat there and he looked at the man who did it and he says, God may forgive you, but know now, I will never forgive you. I will never forgive you, the man screamed. And I thought, and you will be damned forever. You will be damned forever. Because the God of the universe says the narrow way is we must forgive if we want to be forgiven. No matter what. We must forgive. The way the Father forgives us for killing his son, the Father never looks at us and say, I'll never forgive you. He says, of course I forgive you. And we got to learn that in our lives, our daily lives. And again, it's not a feeling of forgiveness. It's an act of the will that we still might in our hearts want to kill that person. But I forgive you because God's commanded me to. Because he who has forgiven me so much, how can I not forgive you? And I felt so bad for that man. I thought, someone got to talk to this guy. Because this man will be a victim his rest of his life. That anger had so controlled his life that he will never have peace in his heart. Forgiveness isn't for that other man. It's for him. Have we learned that narrow way of forgiveness? Am I a person that forgives no matter what? No matter what? He tells us in the gospel, our Father will treat you the same way unless you forgive others from your heart. So the narrow way is a way of forgiveness. And finally, the narrow way is a way of charity. Charity being the old form of the word love. Love which makes itself known in giving away our life and having a servant's heart that I have the one life I've been given and I give a life of charity. Meaning I'm a person of love with my family. I tell the people that I love them. I show my family how to live by giving away my life for them. I, who am a father, give my life for my wife and for my children, and they see that when they look at me. I, who am a mother, give my life away for my husband and my children, and they see that when they look at for me. I, who am children, or I am a child, sit there and give my life for my parents. I have a life of pure love, and I give my life away in service. A narrow way. A narrow way. And Jesus says the ones who won't make it because they're not strong enough. Because way too many people have their whole spiritual life focused on their feelings. If I feel like it, I'll do it. If I feel good, I'll pray. If I feel like serving you and you're loving me and you're showing me how kind I am and you're appreciative of everything I do for you, then I will take care of you. But if I go to prayer and I feel nothing, I'm not going to go to prayer. And if I don't forgive, if I forgive, that I might give you power and say it's okay, we didn't, I won't forgive. Because I can't forgive, absolutely not. And I won't be a person of charity because nobody appreciates me. And we live a life based on feeling instead of a life built on what God commands us. That's why it's a narrow way. So today, Jesus is very challenging to you and to me. This isn't a la-la gospel by any way, shape, or form. It's the gospel who tells us, listen, it's time to take account of your life. Are you on the narrow way? Or are you on the wide road? If you're on the wide road, it's time to change. It's time to say, okay, Lord, I can't. You know how I am. You know how selfish I sometimes can be. Jesus, today, at this Mass, make this the day where I change forever, where I desire with all my heart to have a deep, intimate relationship with you of commitment of daily prayer, to be a person of great forgiveness no matter what, and to be a person who gives away my life in charity. When we do this, then we're people on the narrow road, not the wide one. And we'll be people to get to enjoy the God who does this for us forever. May it you know his love today and forever. Amen.